We're learning Yeshaya, Perek Hey. It's the sixth tape. Today's shiur is sponsored by Mr. and Mrs. Norman Parnas, as is chus for those Kedoshim, the holy ones who were killed in Mumbai, in India. They were killed and targeted because they were Jewish, and somebody who's besides all the good deeds that they did, the very fact that he's killed because he's a Jew, nothing more needs to be said. They're considered Kedoshim, they're holy, and it should be a Zechus. We shouldn't have any more tragedies. Perakei. Oshir Nali Didi. We began this last week. But Oshir Nali Didi. Yeshaya says, I'm going to sing the following song for my beloved. Shiras Dodi Lacharmo, the Shira, the song that Hashem sings about his vineyard. Kerem Hayoli Didi, Hashem, my dear one, had a vineyard, Bekeren Ben Shomen. And it was a vineyard planted in fertile soil. It was in the ideal location. Eretz Yisrael is the land that's ideal, both in Ruchnias and in Gashmias. All types of success. Eretz Yisrael has everything. It's we'll see in the physical sense, the Pasuk promises, Lo sechzar kol bo. Nothing will be lacking in Eretz Yisrael. Even today, in the main brachos, we don't see in Eretz Yisrael nowadays. When Mashiach comes, we'll see the full greatness. But even nowadays, if you take the land of Eretz Yisrael, it's only the size of the state of New Jersey. But in one day you can go skiing on Har Hermon, and you can go in the desert, you can be in Eilat, you can have a range of different temperatures, you can go freshwater bathing, and you can go swimming in the sea. And the same day you have lakes, and you have oceans, and you have deserts, and you have mountains, and you have all types of climates and all types of experiences. And the Gemara discusses certain... The Gemara discusses what an esrog is, and in that discussion the Gemara mentions pepper. And the Gemara says, we know pepper grows in Eretz Yisrael, palpulin, because everything grows in Eretz Yisrael. So if we haven't discovered it growing, we haven't seen the full blessing. But in the physical sense, Eretz Yisrael has everything. And especially in the main point is in the ruchnius, in the spiritual sense, Eretz Yisrael is the place where a person can reach his completeness, his shleimus. And Hashem had this vineyard, which we'll see is Klal Yisrael, and he planted Klal Yisrael in the best place, in Eretz Yisrael. Vayazkeyu, and he fenced the vineyard, he made a wall around it, Vayisakleyu, and he removed the stones. Nothing should hinder the growth of the roots. He protected it. He did the actions. He gave mitzvah saseh. He gave us the positive commandments, what we should do to help the vineyard. And he removed whatever was negative. He got rid of the stones. He gave us the lo saseh. Vayitoeyu sorek. And he planted Klal Yisrael as a choice vine. That we come from the avos. We come from a background. And whatever the avos perfected themselves is passed on to Klal Yisrael. We benefit from their effort and their perfection. And we were planted as this sorek, this choice vine. By even migdol besocho. But a vine can just drag on the ground. Or if it's on a low pole, it'll grow a short height. But Hashem made a tower there. It could be a tower to guard the vineyard. It could also be a tower that the vines would be able to rise to the sky. V'gam yekev chotzev bo. And not only that, but he made a yekev, a place where the grapes could be pressed and the wine will run and be gathered in a reservoir, a tank where the wine can be stored. He prepared everything, that we wouldn't have to go to other lands or other countries or bring the grapes somewhere else to produce the best wine. Everything is self-contained. Vayakav, and Hashem had a hope. Vayakav, he hoped lasos anovim, to produce grapes. Vayas b'ushim, and instead it came out as not good grapes, inferior. We'll come back to the psukim, but let's just see the flow, the way the psukim continue. Va'ata now, Yoshev Yerushalayim v'ish Yehuda. Those that live in Yerushalayim, the people of Yehuda, shiftu bein yuvein karmi, judge now between me and my vineyard. It could be the vineyard we're talking about is Aseres HaShvatim, is the 10 tribes. And they were exiled. This was happened during the days of Chizkiyo. And now Hashem is telling the people in Yehuda, who were on a higher level, but seem to be drawn after following the 10 tribes. They're also degenerating and not keeping their spiritual stature. So Hashem tells them, those who Yoshev Yerushalayim, who live in Yerushalayim, and the men of Yehuda, Shiftuna, I want you to judge now between me and my vineyard. Ma lasasod l'charmi v'lo asisi bo. What more could I do for my vineyard that I didn't? Madua kivesi lasos hanovim. Why did I hope that there would be grapes? Vayas b'ushim, and it was inferior. Va'ato diano eschem. Now I'm going to inform you. Esa shirani osa l'charmi. What I'm going to do for my vineyard. Hoser misukoso. I'm going to remove the hedge. Very often when you had a vineyard, they put up a wall, and on top of it, they'd have a hedge of thorns. This way it stops perhaps the animals from walking straight in. The wall stops them. And if there's certain types of animals that could jump on the wall, or people could climb up, so for that they put a barbed wire fence on top, they put in a thorn bush. That's the Hoser Mesukos. I'm going to remove that hedge from the top of the wall. V'hoyel avoyer. And they'll be consumed. Parot skedero will break through the wall of Oyel Mirmos and will be trampled. Vashiseyu vosa, the vineyard will be now desolate. Lo yizomer, it won't be pruned anymore. Vlo ye odir, it won't be hoed. V'ola shomer v'shoyis, all types of thorns and brambles will grow. V'al ha'ovim matzava mehamtir lov motar. And I'll command about the clouds, no more rain, that no more rain should be given to this vineyard. We'll see the focus is on Klal Yisrael, but the Pasuk doesn't say clearly. The lesson is certainly for Klal Yisrael. But Rashi brings down a Chazal that it could be it's referring to Adam HaRishon. The very first man, these Pesukim could be referring to Adam HaRishon. Hashem had a vineyard. The vineyard could be as Adam HaRishon. Hashem made man. And he placed him in a Keren Ben Shomen, in such a fertile, such a choice piece of land. Adam HaRishon was in the best place in Gan Eden. Vayazkeu, and he took Gan Eden and it was encircled. There was a wall of protection around it. There were 10 different canopies covering Gan Eden. Adam HaRishon was totally protected in paradise. Vayisakleu, and anything bad that could have hampered his avodas Hashem, anything bad was removed, that he didn't have the Yetzirah. As Rashi said, until he ate from the Eitz Hadas, the Yetzirah wasn't in him. Whereas Adam HaRishon knew I was right, and obviously he made a terrible mistake by eating from the Eitz Hadas. But it wasn't like the Yetzirah was in him. That within a person, he knows what's good and he wants the bad. And sometimes he doesn't even know what's good. He's confused. The Yetzirah is in him nowadays. But at that point, Vayisakleu, Adam HaRishon was made. And there were no stones. There was no obstacles within him. Vayitoeyu Sorek, and he was planted as the choicest that Hashem took from the dirt, from the place of the Mizbeach, from the place of the Beis HaMikdash where the Mizbeach is, and from there he created Adam HaRishon. And he built a tower. There was the towering greatness of Vayipach Ba'ap of Nishmas Chaim. He was given a breath of life from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to live and to aspire. V'gam Yekev Chotzev Bo. But the greatness wasn't just from the heavens, from Shemayim, but he was given the ability that down here, the juices could flow, his thoughts, his feelings could be all stirred to serve Hashem. Like a Maya Noveya Makor Chochma, like a spring that flows with a source of wisdom. And Hashem hoped, Adam HaRishon, Vayikav Lasus Anovim, Adam HaRishon could produce grapes. This could be the most ideal thing produced. And he hoped, Sheyoda, the words of Rashi are, Sheyoda V'yishabach Lefonov, that Adam HaRishon should give praise and thanks and acknowledge HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was the hope. Vayas V'ushim, but it came out inferior grapes. Adam HaRishon didn't produce what he should. Rashi says, like spoiled things, that he was chireif v'gideif. He like blasphemed. I'm not sure. It could be Rashi means the blasphemy is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu confronted him and Adam HaRishon placed the blame. Ho'ish asher nosata imodi. The woman you gave me. It's Chava's fault. That itself is the greatest chireif v'gideif, the blasphemy. Hashem wanted Adam HaRishon to recognize that everything's from Hashem and his whole purpose is to serve Hashem. And instead, he did the wrong thing and he placed the blame elsewhere. So that's what Hashem was hoping from Adam HaRishon. Now, the Yoshev Yerushalayim and the Ish Yehuda. Look at this example, because the Klal Yisrael as a whole is also going to be guilty of the shortcomings of not producing the grapes that we're supposed to. So we're supposed to look at Adam HaRishon and say, what would you say in such a case? And Hashem tells you, I'll tell you what I did to Adam HaRishon. Hoser Misukoso, I removed that hedge. I removed the protection around Gan Eden. The canopies were gone. V'hoya levoyer, and Adam HaRishon was consumed. He would no longer live forever. He could be attacked by the animals. Parotz Gedero, that wall around Gan Eden is gone. Because he's sent out of Gan Eden. He's driven out. Vashiseyu Bosa, and he's desolate. Meaning he had no Torah. Torah was not given in the days of Adam HaRishon. And very interesting, Rashi says, Lo yizomer v'lo yiyoder. It won't be pruned and it won't be hoed. Lo yilamdu mimenu lo zechus v'lo maisa tov. By the way, the Rashi is printed a little later. Rashi first explains the Psukim, and then he explains the Nimshol and how it fits in with Adam HaRishon. But lo yizomer v'lo yeyoder. Adam HaRishon is not pruned, and there's no hoeing. Rashi says, lo yilamdu mimenu lo zechus v'lo maisa tov. That Adam HaRishon, we don't learn any zechus, a good way of learning, lo maisa tov. There's no positive lessons from Adam HaRishon. It's interesting. Until you see the Rashi, you don't. All the discussions are what Adam HaRishon did wrong and why he shouldn't do it. But there's no positive lesson that we glean from Adam HaRishon. The grapes were inferior, and therefore it's abandoned. V'ol ha'shomer v'shoyis, and now the thorns grow. The thorns are now, there's the Yetzirah. And afterwards, that caused the people's actions are makulkul, are incorrect. V'al ha'ovim ha'tzav, and then I command the clouds that there shouldn't be any rain, and Adam HaRishon should no longer enjoy his Gan Eden, that there were shomrim, there were guards placed there, that Adam HaRishon would never be able to get back into Gan Eden. But on the other Mephoshim learned, the simple lesson is, this is a lesson for what happened to the Aseres HaShvatim, to the 10 tribes, and the Yoshev Yerushalayim, the Ish Yehuda, the people of Yerushalayim and Yehuda, were supposed to judge what should be done with such a vineyard that didn't produce what it was supposed to. It's of note that the vineyard didn't stop producing, the vineyard didn't get destroyed. Actually, the vineyard was producing, thus the grapes were inferior. There's always that hope, as long as the vines are still there, the potential is still there, and as we learn the Pesukim, it's called throughout Karmi, we are the vineyard of Hashem, and Hashem is the Yadid, the one who's so dear. We are dear to Him, and of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is dear to us. There's that connection and that love, but there's that disappointment that it produced, but the grapes were inferior, wasn't the way it was supposed to be. Hashem made this vineyard, Vayikav Lasos Anovim, and Hashem hoped it would make grapes, Vayas Be'ushim, and the grapes were inferior. There was a shortcoming, we'll see, Bein Odom LaMokom and Bein Odom LaChavero, on both ways, into personal relationships, on the way our service of Hashem, in both we were short. Hoser Misukoso, Hashem said He's going to remove that hedge, meaning there's a Hashkocha Protis, like a protection that's above the wall, like Min HaShemayim, there's a Hashkocha Protis that's guiding us, and yet sometimes we're not zochet to feel it. Hashem says He's removing that special protection. Parotz Gedero, and the simple wall that is the physical on this earth, even sometimes the simple B'derech HaTeva, we'd think, you know, the Jewish people should be successful maybe in this type of combat or whatever, in this situation, they're strong enough, they're wealthy enough, they'll succeed. And Parotz Gedero, even B'derech HaTeva, the wall is broken. So Hashem commands that He's going to cause the vineyard to degenerate and it's going to be trampled. But at this point, this is what happened to the Aseres HaShvatim. It happened to the 10 tribes. At this point, the Yoshev Yerushalayim and the Ish Yehuda still have enough seichel. They still have enough knowledge of Hashem that they're able to judge. As bad as it is, shiftuna. Hashem says, judge now between me and my vineyard. And looking at it objectively, looking at the shortcomings of others, what happened with Aseres HaShvatim, the hope is that those living in Yerushalayim and Ish Yehuda will take the lesson and they'll improve. In Pasuk Dalet, Malasas Od Lecharmi, Hashem says, what more could I do for my vineyard? V'lo Asisi Bo, and I didn't. The truth is, I'm sure if you would have asked the people, they could have given you a whole wish list of things that should have happened. But if a person realizes his purpose in life, and the purpose is not just what enjoyments do you want, but what Hashem wants, and Hashem's given us the potential. And sometimes even when things are difficult, that itself is giving us everything we need to succeed. It's interesting, the Gemara says in Tainus, it discusses what the ideal type of Baal Tefillah is. Who should daven for the minyan when there's a fast day and a time of difficulty for Klal Yisrael? Who should be the Baal Tefillah? And before looking at the Gemara's answer, I would have assumed that one who should be the Baal Tefillah is somebody who has nothing on his mind and who's able to sit and spend his whole day in Avodas Hashem and in Kedusha and in Devekas, and he should be the person who should lead the community. And the Gemara, on the contrary, says it's the person who's, he has no Averis, but he's also got an empty house. And I mean, he's got no Parnassah, and he's Metupel Ve'elo, and he's busy, and he has a difficulty himself, and he feels the pain and the suffering of the community, that even though it's easier for a person to focus on the good when he doesn't have the stress and the aggravation, but a person's, the stress and the aggravation also help him become the ideal Baal Tefillah, the one who can cry out to Hashem, and the difficulties are also there. They make it easier for us to attain perfection. And Hashem says, Ma'alasas Od L'charmi, what more could I do for my vineyard that I didn't? I did everything to allow them to succeed. Madua kivesi lasus anovim. Why did I hope that it would make grapes? Vayas be'ushim. And what was produced was inferior. Va'ato diano eschem. Now I will inform you. Esa shirani osa lacharmi. What I'm going to do for my vineyard. Hoser misukoso. I'm going to remove that hedge. V'hoya levoyer. And the vineyard will be consumed. Animals will go in, they'll jump over the wall, people will go into the scale of the wall, and they'll eat the grapes. Whatever is growing, they might be inferior, but whatever there is, it will be consumed, and it'll be taken. But they'll have hanoah. Those that take it will at least have a benefit. And then there's a worse madrega, a greater punishment, where parots gedero, the fence, the wall is broken, v'hoya lemirmos, and it's trampled, where it's not like you can even see the enemy of the goyim exploiting the Jews for their benefit, but it can be v'hoya lemirmos, it's simply trampled, that people don't care, and they're just out to... There's no wall, and they just walk over or step all over the vines. At this point, it doesn't say what kind of grapes are growing. But Hashem says, "Vashiseu vasa." I'm going to make it desolate and empty. Lo yizomer v'lo yeyoder. It won't be pruned. It won't be hoed. It could be there'll still be some vines, but there'll be a point at which it's desolate. And then it'll be sort of left. It'll be left haphazard without the care. There won't be any pruning. There won't be any hoeing. Va'ala shomir va'shoyis, thorns and weeds will grow. Va'al ha'ovi matzave, and on the clouds I'll command mehamter lov motor, that there shouldn't be rain. The clouds could be the hashpa, the influence from Shamayim, like the Nevi'im, the prophets received prophecy from Shemayim, there's Ruach HaKodesh, there's inspiration, and yet there'll be points where Klal Yisrael won't have, the clouds won't be releasing any rain. And at this point, could be those vines will start growing grapes again. But with them, there'll be thorns, and there'll be weeds, and there'll be everything bad, and the vineyard won't be tended. And I think the Das Sofer makes the point that it could be, there were times like in Klal Yisrael, in the second Beis HaMikdash, it certainly stood out that way. That there were times when they were terrible, they were Rishoyim, they were the Tzdukim. It's hard for us to imagine what it was like in the second Beis HaMikdash. There were Kohanim Gedolim, who didn't believe in the Torah Shabbat Pen, they didn't follow Chazal. The Gemara has a story, there's a Kohen in the Beis HaMikdash who took the water for Nisuch HaMayim to pour the water on the Mizbeach, and he took the water and he poured it on his feet as a sign of mockery and making fun of the avod in the Beis HaMikdash. And the people, this was on Sukkot, and the people took their esrogim and they pelted him. And they all threw their esrogim at him. The people were, Klal Yisrael was always basically with Chazal and following the Torah, but the leaders were bad, a lot of them, and they brought down the people. But at that time in the second Beis HaMikdash is when the Tanoim, toward the end of the second Beis HaMikdash, when it was sort of at the low point, is at that point you see the Tanoim first growing, and there were the great, tremendous tzaddikim. It could be at this point the vineyard, once it's desolate, and then it sort of comes back, even though it's not being pruned and it's not being hoed, and the Klal Yisrael is no longer just the pure men of perfection. It's not, Klal Yisrael is not on the high level that they were previously. And there's plenty of Rishoyim, especially among the leaders and people who are misled. But with all that, it could be the grapes are growing again. But the punishment is that the vineyard's not tended, and there's everything. Everything's growing. It could be grapes. Certainly there are the inferior grapes, and it's not, and there are weeds and thorns, and everything's growing. And the clouds, Hashem says, will command that there shouldn't be any rain. In Pasuk Zion, because the vineyard of Hashem Tzavakos means Hashem has all the hosts. He has everything. He has everything that's in the Shemayim, in the heavens, everything in earth. But out of everything, the Hashem Tzavakos, we're His vineyard. Kikerem Hashem Tzvokos Beis Yisrael, the house of Klal Yisrael, we're like that vineyard. The Ish Yehuda and the men of Yehuda, Nita Shashuav, is like this, what he's planted. Shashuav, and Hashem takes a delight in. And some of Forshim again point out there's the vineyard, and then there's that Nita Shashuav, the planting that Hashem takes delight in. Yehuda is Nita Shashuav. The 10 Aseres HaShvatim, Beis Yisrael, that's the vineyard that we're talking about, that's destroyed, that's exiled, that's gone. But the Ish Yehud is Natasha Shuav. It's the planting that Hashem takes a delight in. Vayakav l'mishpat. And Hashem was hoping that there would be mishpat, there would be justice. That's bein adam l'chaveiro, there would be justice and people would be treated correctly. V'hinei mispach. And instead of that, there was mispach, there was just adding on one avera to another avera and just gathering it, like the word safcheni means to gather. It's just a gathering of sin. It could also be related to the word sapachas, is a one of the marks of leprosy, of tsaras, that he was hoping for mishpat, and it's also a play on words. Mishpat becomes mispach, sounds very similar, it's written very similarly. He was hoping for justice, v'hine mispach. And there's just an accumulation of sin. Litztaka, Hashem was hoping for righteousness. V'hine tzaka, again that play on words is, instead of tztaka, there was tzaka. Instead of righteousness, there were cries from the wrongdoing. It could be that tztaka is bein olam lamakom, that we should be righteous in the eyes of Hashem. And the mishpat is bein olam l'chavero. And on both areas, there was a shortcoming, which we're now going to discuss. But you see the pain, it's not being words out of anger from Hashem or out of hatred from Hashem, chas v'shalom, but it's words almost like pleading in the tsar, the pain that Hashem says, that we're His vineyard, we're the Natasha Shuav, that planting that Hashem took such a delight in, that He enjoyed playing with. It was just such a source of joy. And it didn't produce the way it was supposed to. Bein olam l'chaveiro could be is the first thing he's discussing now. Hoi, woe, magiei vayis bevayis. There are those who encroach. They cause one house to reach the other house. Sada besada yakrivu. One field meets the other field. Ad efes makom, till there's no space in between. V'ushavtem levadchem bekerav haaretz. Do you think that you're going to live alone in the land? You're the only ones to settle in the land. It's referring to the case where you have two wealthy men and they each have their house. And there's the poor person in the middle who has his little shack and he's got the mansions on both sides and he's helpless. He can't fight against his powerful neighbors. And slowly you see the border of the field gets moved over a few inches on one side and a few feet on the other. The magiei bayis bevayis, one house on one side seems to meet the house on the other side, and the poor man who had his lot in the middle all of a sudden discovers there's nothing there. Sada v'sada yakriva, one field meets the other field. Ad efes makom, so there's no place in the middle. V'ushavtem levadchem bekerav haaretz. What do you think? The poor person is going to now be driven out and you'll live there all by yourself? We'll see. Ba'oznoi Hashem tzvakos. In my ears, Yeshaya says. Ba'oznoi, in my ears, Hashem tzvakos. I heard the following from Hashem. Im lobotim rabim l'shama yiyu. The great houses, the many houses, l'shama yiyu, will now be laid ruin. Gedolim, the great houses, v'tovim, the splendid ones, ma'ein yoshev, will not be inhabited. They'll be empty. You might figure, well, we'll drive out the poor people. This will now become an upper class community. But Hashem says, if you don't care about the poor, you won't be living there either. V'ushavtem levadchem bekerav haaretz, you think you could live there alone? And the truth is, the Mefarshim learn it's not necessarily such a understanding it this way. It really is a terrible, terrible crime. Even though terrible is saying about simple money matters, but it's dealt with and it's treated as the most terrible crime when it's to mistreat the poor and those that aren't able to defend their rights. But some of Forsham learns even less of a complaint. What actually happened is the poor man would very often come for a loan. He needs money. And the wealthy man would say, I'll give you a loan, but I need security. What's going to back up the loan? The poor man has nothing. He has no mashkin. He has no gold watch or no fancy leichter. And there's no silver or gold. He has nothing to give as a security. The only thing he has is that piece of land or that house that he lives in. So he gives it over. Give him the loan. And you have, and the, now the loan, the lender has a lien on the property. He defaults. The poor man defaults, and the wealthy person takes over that land. And hoy magie vayis bavayis, the houses just seem to spread, and the poor man loses his field. It wasn't necessarily a simple case of robbery or thievery, moving the boundary line. It could be the poor man lost it. He lost it. He wasn't able to pay up the loans. On one hand, we can understand the wealthy person. Do you expect him to lend a lot of money without any security? But the Navi looks at it that perhaps they lent the money hoping that they were going to get that property. Instead of trying to work things out, trying to help the poor man get back on his feet, their plan was they'll lend it out and it's all legal, but their intention was ad ephes mokum, that the poor person should have no place left. He would have no place left. V'ushavtem levadchem bekerav haaretz. Do you think you'll live alone in the land? Bo'oznoi, this is in my ears. Hashem Tzavakos. It could be understood that Yeshaya says, Hashem spoke in my ears, because you wouldn't believe it, especially the way we just explained it, that nothing was done unlawful. A poor man borrowed money, couldn't pay it up, so he lost his property. It wasn't nice, it wasn't lifnei mishuras hadin. But Yeshaya says, believe it or not, I heard it. Ba'oznoi, in my ears, Hashem tzvakos, Hashem said, im lo batim rabim l'shama yiyu, many houses will now be ruined, gedolim v'tovim ein yoshev, great and splendid houses, won't have anyone living there. It could also be Hashem Tzvakos is, this is an expression that it's an oath. But Ozno Yeshaya is saying, Hashem Tzvakos, I'm swearing by the name of Hashem. And he's swearing to let people know the severity. That it's like he's swearing by the name of Hashem, if you don't get your act together and you don't take care of that poor person, so in lo batim rabim l'sham yiyu, the churban is coming. Many houses will be destroyed. Gedolim v'tovim ein yoshev. The great, the splendid houses won't be inhabited. Ki aseres tzimdei cherem. Because a piece of land where you needed aseres 10, tzimdei usually means like a pair of oxen. And cherem is a vineyard. Some of Forshim learn that if you had one pair of oxen, there was a standard amount of land that you would be able to plow and till in a day's work. If you had 10 pairs of oxen, you could plow 10 times as much of a field. I don't know how many acres this is. But if you had aseres, 10 tzimdei kerem, 10 pairs of oxen working on the vineyard, yasu bas echos, it's only going to make one measure of wine. Vizera chomer, and if you had a chomer worth of seed, which is the amount of a kur, which is 30 sa'ah, it's a lot of seed that you had for planting. Yasa eifa, and it'll make the amount of 3 sa'ah, which Chazal says basically, the land will only produce a tenth of what you're planting. The Targum says, on this pasuk, Arei b'chova, because of the guilt, delo yehovu ma'asraya, that they didn't give ma'aser, they didn't give the tenth. If you didn't give the ma'aser, you didn't give the tenth to the poor. So therefore, the land will only produce a tenth. You'll have an area of aseres tzimdei cherem, 10 yokes of oxen would plow this vineyard, and yasa bas echos. It's going to make just one measure of wine from the whole vineyard. Vizerach Omer, and this tremendous amount of seed that you're taking out to plant, Yase Eifa, it'll only produce a small amount. The simple meaning is, it's because of Averis that they're mistreating. I mean, the Targum says it has to do with because they didn't give Meiser. According to the Targum, again, you see, it's hard to know which Averis, how to understand it, because on the one hand, not giving Meiser is a, certainly, we see here, it's a terrible Avera. But it's not even, it's viewed as stealing. You see the Madrega of Klal Yisrael, the Meiser belongs to the poor, and if you take it, it's as if you're stealing from them, and therefore, they'll get this terrible punishment. And according to the simple meaning of the Pesukim, again, those who are magie bias, babias, they encroach on the poor and they don't care about the poor, and the poor seem to be driven out of the land, their own land won't produce what it's supposed to. The Malbim says it's almost as if the Novi is taunting the people and saying, you know, you were magie bias bavias. You caused one house to encroach on the other house. It would have been more sense if you would have tried to expand your fields. Soda besoda yakrivu, at least get the fields closer together, because the fields, the houses, you're not going to have. The houses are going to be desolate. The fields, you'll only be getting a tenth, but at least the fields, you'll have something from it. Almost as if he's mocking the people. In other words, you're causing the houses to encroach. Even if you wouldn't kick the person out of his living quarters. You'd only take over his field. But even the fields aren't going to produce. It's only going to produce a tenth. This could be the Bein Odom L'Chaveiro. By Yaakov, Hashem hoped L'Mishpat that there would be justice. And because there wasn't justice, this is the punishment. Bein Odom L'Makom, what a person's focus in life, how a person should serve Hashem. Hoy mashkimei v'aboker, in Pasuk Yud Aleph. Woe to those who get up early in the morning. Sheikhar yirdofu, and they're pursuing sheikhar. Sheikhar is intoxicating drink. Yayin v'sheikhar al teish. Yayin poshet is wine, and sheikhar is a strong wine. For those who have trouble sleeping, sometimes they advise you take a drink of wine before you go to sleep at night. But here, they get up early in the morning. They're mashkimei v'aboker. They get up early. And sheikhar yirdofu. And they go to drink, not just wine, but they go for the strong wine early in the morning. That's what they get up. It could be they're drinking it early in the morning, or their focus, their whole day is, they're getting up early in the morning because they want to chase that strong drink. They can't wait till they can get drunk at the end of the day. But they're mashkimei v'aboker, they get up early in the morning, sheikhar yirdofu, and they pursue the strong drink. Ma'achrei v'aneshef, they stay up late at night, past the bedtime. Yayin yadlikem, and the wine, it could mean yadlikem, like inflames them. They're not running on gas and not running on a good solid meal, but they got their energy from the drink that gives them the strength to go ahead and act in whatever crazy wild ways a drunk man would act. But the machrei v'aneshef, they stay up late, yayin yadlikem. It could also mean yadlikem means also to like pursue. Yaakov said to Lavan, Ki dolakta acharoi, you chased after me, and you see I didn't take anything, you looked through everything, you didn't. Ki dolakta, dolakta can mean to pursue. They get up early in the morning, sheikhar yirdofu, and they're running after the alcohol, they want the strong drink. And perhaps when a person becomes an alcoholic and he gets used to it, then the wine comes after him, yayin yadlikem, he doesn't have any calm and any serenity, and he's not able to live without it. It's the wine is after him, and he has no peace. It's yayin yadlikem, the wine is pursuing them. V'hoya chinor v'nevel, and there'll be the harp. V'nevel is the lyre, also a string instrument. Tof, the drums. v'cholil, and the flute. V'yayin mishteim, and their wine with their parties. It's a scene of a lot of musical instruments, a whole production, and they're drinking wine and partying. V'yispol Hashem lo yabitu. And the deeds of Hashem, what Hashem has done, they don't look at that. When his hands have done, they don't see. They don't notice, they don't focus on what Hashem has created and what Hashem has done. As we say in Davening from Tehillim, it's supposed to be Lahagid Baboker Chastecha. In the morning, a person should get up and tell over the kindness of Hashem. He gets up and he sees the world coming to life and the sun is rising and it's getting light. So when it's dark and it's nighttime, but he talks about the belief and the trust in Hashem, even though it doesn't seem, it seems a gloomy, difficult time, but we keep our emun on Hashem. Ali Yosef, Ali Novel, and we use the musical instruments to praise Hashem. And Kisimachtani Hashem before Lech, and we say, Hashem, you've given us such a simcha, such a joy in what you've done. Here we have the joy, and we have the singing, and we have the party, but they're missing the most important thing. V'yispol Hashem lo yabitu. They don't look to see what Hashem has done. U'maisa yodav lo ro, and they haven't seen what Hashem, his maisa yodav, what his hands have done. Chazal say, Rashi brings down, it could be as simple, the Gemara says, l'chorva Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim wasn't destroyed until people started skipping Kriya Shema in the morning and at night with the brachos. They didn't simply, when you wake up in the morning, you're supposed to say, ah, the sun is rising, Yotzer Or Uvori Choshech, Osa Sholom Uvori Yasakol, and you're supposed to say a bracha, acknowledging, and then it leads on to Shema, that we're makabel, we accept O Malchus Shamayim, that Hashem is our God, and we have to serve Him and love Him, and accept the mitzvahs. That's the way, that's what the day is supposed to inspire. And then as you see the night comes, Hashem Yidvaru Mariv Aravim, that Hashem causes the darkness, gradually it gets darker and darker, and a person's supposed to again say the brachos of Mariv, and with again a Kriya Shema, that our belief in Hashem. And here they're just partying, and they don't, they get to say Shema, their focus is, they're totally not focused on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara also learns out, many Gemaras discuss it, that V'yispol Hashem lo yabitu ma'isa yodav lo ro. A person is supposed to know, is supposed to see the godless Hashem. A person should, whatever a person learns, whatever a person knows about nature, is there to show us and to teach us and to learn from it, to become a little, a minuscule grain of knowledge more of the greatness of Hashem and the kindness of Hashem and what Hashem is doing for us. A person is supposed to contemplate and to know that a person who has the ability is mechuyev to make the calculations of how the calendar works, which is a very intricate system based on the precise how many minutes and seconds is in the revolutions and the cycles of the moon and the sun. And a person should study and see the greatness of Hashem. Also, as Rashi brings down, V'yispol Hashem lo yabitu, they didn't look at what Hashem has done. What Hashem has done is given us the Torah, and they don't look at the Torah. And it's written in a way that it includes everything. V'yispol Hashem lo yabitu, they don't look at what Hashem has done, they don't look at the nature, they don't look at the Torah, they just look at running after the wine and having their parties, and that's their whole focus. And as terrible as the Averis are, again, it's noteworthy that it doesn't single out any Averis. So somebody will say to you, like, what's wrong with going to the party? What's wrong with drinking? He's drinking and he's got music. You know, like, well, what's wrong? What's the Avera? The Avera is the whole focus of his life. But that itself shows the Madrega of Klal Yisrael. There's nothing technically wrong. After the Churban, the Gemara discusses that a person shouldn't be just partying with music and the wine, Bashir lo yishtu yayin, but this is, they had the Beis HaMikdash. But even so, that it's just the wrong focus of life. Lochein, and therefore, Gola Ami Mibli Doas. my nation went into exile, Miblidos, because they didn't have knowledge. If the focus is not on learning Torah, is not on knowing Hashem, so if you don't have Torah, that causes the exile. Gol Ami Miblidos, because they don't have the knowledge of Hashem, they're exiled. Uchvodo, in their honor, Miseirov, either means Miseirov, people will die from hunger, or Misei can also mean people. Vani Misei Mispor, Misei can mean no, people. Uchvodo Miseirov, there'll be people that are starving. Vahamono, in the multitude of people, Tziche Tzomo, will be parched with thirst. They took what was the poor man's. They encroached on his property. And they won't, now the punishment is they won't have what to eat. They spent their time drinking. Vahamono tziche tzoma. And now they'll be parched from thirst. Forget about the wine. They won't even have water to quench their thirst. And it's a direct outcome. Lochein, therefore, if they're not going to be involved in knowing Hashem, this is what's going to happen. Lochein, therefore, yirchiva sha'ol nafsha. It's like the graves just widened nafsha, their soul, their desire. The people had a desire for all of the pleasures of this world. And now it's as if the graves will just desire. They'll make room for more and more people. Ufara pia livli chok, and the Sheol, the netherworld, will open its mouth livli chok without an end. We'll see more and more people are perishing. V'yorad hadora, and the splendor, v'hamona, and the multitude of people, u'sheona, and all of the joyous commotion and excitement and tumult, v'oleizba, and all of the joy will all go down into the Sheol, into the grave. Sheona normally means the joyous tumult of the excitement of the party, like somebody comes into a party and it's just like noisy and boisterous, and that's the Sheona. The Hamona just means in general, there's a lot of people. And Hadorah is the splendor. Normally, if the city was going to be destroyed, first the parties stop. Perhaps you have a curfew, whatever, things are quieting down, people aren't partying, it's difficult times. There's no Sheona. The next step is, you see, Hamona, there's no multitude of people. People are leaving the city, either being killed, they're exiled, they're gone. You don't have the Hamona, the multitude of people. And then, Vahadora, the splendor, meaning the king, the officers, the whole government, seems to fall apart because the people's just not there backing them up. But here it's written in reverse order. V'yorad hadara, the splendor, meaning it doesn't have the king and the officers, v'hamona, the people aren't there, u'sha'ona, the joy, because it's sudden. It's like in one time, it's all gone. V'oleiz bo, and the person who was 1 minute, oleiz, he had such a joy and a happiness, bo, he's right there in the sha'ol, right there in the grave. V'yishach adam. And then all of a sudden, man realizes that he's not as great as he is. He's lowered. He's humbled. Vayish balish. And physically, his stature, he's bowed, he's bent over. He's lowered. Ve'enei gvoim tishpalna. And the eyes of those who are arrogant are lowered. Vayigva Hashem tzvokos ba'mishpat. And at that point, Hashem tzvokos will be elevated with the mishpat. People will realize that the punishment, it was all just. And they'll realize that it's the very fact that Klal Yisrael is suffering, and everyone will understand all of the calculations and why it all happened. And despite the fact that we are so much better than the other nations of the world, but Hashem expected us to be that vineyard producing the good grapes. And therefore, that's why the punishment happened, because we didn't serve Hashem the way we should. Vayigba Hashem tzvokos ba'mishpat. And with the mishpat, with the justice, Hashem will be elevated and people will realize how great Hashem is. It could also mean Hashem will be elevated by reinstituting mishpat. That when people get their punishment, they'll change their focus in life, and they'll care about the downtrodden, and society will improve, and there'll be social justice. And then Hashem will be elevated by Mishpo with the people behaving properly. V'hokel HaKadosh. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hokel is a term used for the Midas Hadin, the strict law, the attribute of justice. And Kadosh, that Hashem is the source of spirituality, Ruchnius, the holy, totally detached from the mundane physical world. But for Hokel HaKadosh Nikdash Bitztaka, Hashem will be acknowledged as the Kadosh Bitztaka with its staka. Either it means with the fact when people get their act together and we serve Hashem righteously. So with its staka that now people will have, their eyes will be lowered and they'll be humbled. And then Bitztaka, with its staka that we have, our Bein Adam LaMakom will be improved. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be elevated. Kaviyachol. All of these terms are the way we perceive Hashem, the way we see Hashem. Hashem himself doesn't change. But we notice Hashem as being Hashem Tzavakos, the Lord of hosts, that Hashem controls the heavens and the earth. So if the earth serves Hashem, and if we're doing the Bamishpat, if we're working with justice, so then you can look at Hashem Tzavakos. Hashem controls the whole world and controls everything, and everything is working with Mishpat. That's all because of Hashem. V'akel HaKadosh Nikdash Bitztaka, when people have their Bein Olam L'Chaver, or their Bein Olam L'Makom, and they act correctly in a Ruchnius way, we can properly appreciate a little bit more V'akel HaKadosh, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with the Midas Hadin, even though there is a punishment, but Hashem is Kadosh, the Holy One, Nikdash Bitztaka. V'ro Chavosim Kedavram, and the Rishayim, the wicked people, had their punishment, and now the sheep, the kavasim, the little sheep, are able to graze kedavram as they're used to. And here the sheep refers to tzaddikim, as elsewhere, the simple, the animal that doesn't hurt anyone else, provides milk and wool, and is just good, brings goodness to the world. V'ro kavasim kedavram, the sheep will again graze kedavram as they are accustomed to. V'chorvos mechim, and the chorvos, the runes of mechim, the fat people who are just enjoying the hanah and the pleasures of Olam Hazeh, here taken to refer to the Rishoyim, the houses of the Rishoyim, the chorvos mechim, those runes of the Rishoyim, garim yochelu. Now those who were like strangers on this world, that didn't seem to have a permanence, that were the tzaddikim who were just living here, but they certainly weren't living in this world. They were sojourning. They were traveling here, just gathering Torah and Maisim Tovim. The Gorim, those that have been the strangers and just the sojourners, they'll now consume and they will be able to live off of those Charvos Meichim, the runes of the Rishonim, of the wicked people. Hoi Moshe Ha'avon B'chavle Hashav. Woe is to those who pull sin. They pull the avon, iniquity, B'chavle Hashav, with the cords of shav, of nothingness, something without substance. V'chavos Ha'agolo Chato. And like the ropes they use to pull a wagon, they pull the Chato, they pull sin. Rashi brings down, Hoy Moshe Ha'avon, those that pull the sin. There are those who are Goyririm Yetzahara Aleihem. Ma'at Ma'at. They drag the Yetzahara onto themselves little by little. The truth is, there are a lot of people, and it's an Yisrael we all go through. But a lot of times a person is feeling a satisfaction and a happiness and accomplishment in Avodas Hashem. He's serving Hashem. And then, for whatever reason, he doesn't even have a Yetzirah, but he reads something, or he sees something, or he listens to something, or he goes somewhere, and he doesn't even have a Yetzirah, but he just does it. And it attracts him, and it takes his time, and his energy, and his focus, and his talents, and his abilities. They're Moshe Chavon, they drag the Aveira to themselves. They're pulling the Yetzirah on themselves. Ma'at Ma'at a little bit. And they're pulling it pachavle hashov with ropes of nothingness. It's the Gemara says it starts off like a cob's web, a spider web, that has almost nothing to it. A spider web has no, you can knock it off. It seems to have no strength to it. Certainly not to a person. It's like a string of nothing. But then once the Yetzirah gets incited, it gets stronger and stronger, and before he knows it, he gets dragged v'chavos ha'agola, like the thick wagons you need to, thick ropes you need to pull a wagon. All of a sudden, chata, he's being drawn to the sin. It started off as nothing, and it ended off like thick ropes. He's pulling the Averis, and it's very hard for him to break loose. He's connected to the Avera like with these thick ropes. Ha'omrim, those who say, Yemaher, let Hashem hurry, Yochishan, hasten, Masei, whatever Hashem wants to do, Laman near, in order that we'll see. Yeshaya, the Navi, and there were many other Navim, went ahead and they told the people, you have to correct your ways, you have to correct your ways, you have to change, there'll be a punishment, there's a din v'cheshman, everything is accounted for, no mitzvah's forgotten, and of course no Avera's forgotten, everything is accounted for. And there are those who are saying, nah, we'll see it. Let's see it happen. Almost as if they're like taunting Hashem. And I was like, it's not going to make a difference what happens. Omrim Yemar, they say, let Hashem hurry, Yochishan, let it hasten, Masay, whatever Hashem's going to do. Laman Nira, let's see what happens. Vesikrav, it should come close. Visavon, and it should come. It should happen. The Atzas Kedosh Yisrael, the eights of the plans of Kedosh Yisrael, of Hashem, who's the Holy One of Klal Yisrael. Again, that special connection is we're Yisrael, and Hashem is the Kedosh Yisrael, and Hashem has a counsel and He has a plan for this world. And they say, you know what? Let it happen, v'neidah, and then we'll know it, and then we'll know it very well. Let's see if it's going to happen. How bad could it be? And could it really happen? It's almost as if perhaps they believe there could be schar na'inish and oilam haba and whatever, but certainly in this world they didn't think the Nevi'im are saying that their actions are going to affect whatever's going to happen with the goyim and with the... They didn't believe that their actions would affect their outcome here on this world. Hoy and woe ha'omrim l'ra tov la tov ra. Those who say about bad that it's good, and those who say about good that it's bad. The first thing is there's the moral relativity. Those who say there's no absolute good, chas v'shalom, there's no absolute bad, it's what society makes up and whatever. It's terribly wrong. There is an absolute good and there's an absolute bad. And certain things given to a person with his innocence and with his honesty with himself would realize what's right and what's wrong. And whatever you don't realize on your own, or certainly with the Torah, you're guided to know what's right and what's wrong. And there are those who say what's bad is good, what's good is bad. Their moral compass is totally skewed. Samim choshech l'or v'or l'choshech. They place darkness to be light, and light to be darkness. Samim mar l'mosuk u'mosuk l'mar. And they place what's bitter to be sweet, and what's sweet to be bitter. It's almost like a person who's sick. And as he gets sicker, he doesn't appreciate good food anymore, or for whatever reason, could be he enjoys eating some food that's really repulsive, but his whole system is out of whack. And therefore, what's bitter, he tastes as being sweet, and what's sweet is bitter, because he's totally lost himself, and he's become mired in Averis. And therefore, the Novi says, we'll resume next week, but these are 22, we're going to see Chazal say, we have the word hoy many times over here. And in Tehillim, David HaMelech said 22 times the word Ashrei. Because there are 22 times we praise the person who is fortunate and who is Makayim the Torah. Rashi says this on Pasuk Ches. And those that do wrong, it says 22 times here, Yeshaya says, "Hoy, woe is to people who do this wrong. Woe is to do those people who do the other things wrong." And it's our job to be among the group of Ashrei, the 22 times David HaMelech mentions, those who do good are fortunate.